This podcast homily is part of a series of homilies for Whit Sunday Pentecost and the Sundays in Trinity season in worship using the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. Welcome to this podcast homily for the 8th Sunday after Trinity. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. These homilies are always found on the podcast homilies page at the AIC website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. They, as well as the entire AIC archive of hundreds of homilies on various topics, can also be accessed through the Podbean gadget on the digital library page of the same site. The epistle reading is Romans 8, 12-17, St. Paul's teaching on the Christian doctrine of the adoption of the faithful as children of the Father, who is called Abba in the ancient Aramaic language spoken at the time of Christ, with the Holy Spirit being the means through which this occurs. Here is the New King James text of what I think are the three most critically important verses, 13, 16, and 17. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified. Readers should always remember that when St. Paul used the word flesh in verse 13 from the Greek sarx, he is not exclusively referring to bodily lusts, but is using it as a metaphor for the human condition, that is, the conflict between things earthly and things spiritual. For more on flesh, as used by St. Paul, who used the word more than any other New Testament author, see the entry for flesh in Layman's Lexicon, an AIC bookstore publication available at amazon.com/author/Ronald-E-Shibley. The Gospel reading for 8th Sunday after Trinity is Matthew 7:15-21. Understanding the meaning of the last verse in the reading is greatly aided by the addition of three verses immediately before today's selection, verses 12, 13, and 14, and two verses 22 and 23 that follow afterward. In verse 12, Jesus offers a variation on the golden rule, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." In verses 13 and 14, he paraphrases Psalm 1, the Two Ways Psalm, which is an important guide to understanding the whole book of Psalms. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, there are few who find it. In the main body of the reading, Jesus warns against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. In verse 15, he says, "You will know them by their fruits." After a brief homily on whether a bad tree can bear good fruit or you can get figs from a thorny vine, he repeats again the statement from verse 16a, but with a variation, saying in verse 20, "Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." It is this guidance to which St. Paul refers in the epistle reading concerning being in the Spirit instead of in the flesh. Many writers have explained this teaching regarding false prophets as warning against false advocates of other forms of religion. I do not think that that is what is meant. It is not just a warning against people outside the faith who teach false doctrine. It is also a warning against those inside the faith who wear religious garb yet teach false lessons to the faithful. The wolves in sheep's clothing are those who have changed the teachings handed down from the apostles to make them into something they consider more relevant or sensitive or politically correct in today's world. Jesus ben Sirach warned against the same problem 2 centuries before Christ in Ecclesiasticus chapter 1, verse 27. "Do not exalt yourself, lest you fall and bring dishonor to your soul. The Lord shall reveal your secrets, and in the midst of the assembly he will strike you down because you did not come in the fear of the Lord, and your heart was full of deceit." The message from today's gospel and commentary is that it is not how you dress, or how often you quote scripture, or how you rank on any secular or clerical scale, but what lies in your heart and how you live by the rules that have been taught by Scripture. Or meet the definition in Psalm 1, "To delight in the law of the Lord, and in His law exercise yourself day and night." Again, this is what St. Paul meant concerning the difference between the flesh and the spirit. Jesus says this himself in the final verse, 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." The great Anglican prayer book scholar Massey Shepherd in the middle of the 20th century, 60 years ago, warned that if we end our discussion of today's reading just with verse 21, then we will miss the impact of what Jesus has said. I agree with Shepherd that verses 22 and 23 add necessary context on the issues of judgment and the qualifications for entry into the kingdom of heaven. Here is Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23 in the New King James text. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" The first of today's two closing prayers is an adaptation into modern language of an Ethiopian Coptic morning prayer written in the 3rd or 4th century. And the second is the collect for the 8th Sunday after Trinity, which Archbishop Cranmer adapted from the Gelasian Sacramentary as it was used in the Sarum tradition of the Church of England. If you listen carefully to both these prayers, you will hear echoes of St. Paul's teaching on spirit versus flesh from today's epistle reading. "We give thanks unto the door of good unto us, the merciful God, the Father of our Lord and our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. For he has kept us, he has brought us near, and received us unto himself, and has undertaken our defense, and brought us to this hour. Let us therefore pray that the Almighty Lord our God keep us in this holy day all the days of our life and in all peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, whose never-failing providence ordereth all things, both in heaven and on earth, we humbly beseech thee to put away from us all hurtful things, and to give us those things which are profitable for us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a production of the Anglican Internet Church, and we invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.